Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Välkomna till Teach Me Sweden, en humorpodd där vi lär varandra svensk historia. Jag heter Erik Broström.
And I'm Jonathan Rollins, and in this episode I will be reading to Eric about ladies of the night.
Inte vampyrer.
No, but they will suck something.
They, okay, sure.
Yes, join us for this wonderful episode of Teach Me Sweden.
Jag fick en rivstart här. Jag har, nu när det här släppt så är det nog official, men vi har ju en teater i Midsommarkransen och vi kommer nu öppna upp en till scen. En humorscen inne i Vasastan på Hagagatan.
Oh, nice.
Crazy. Och sen håller jag mig på filmar för SVT-serie också.
Damn, you're a busy man. I'm glad you...
jävla busy.
I'm glad you're making time to learn something.
För det här är det enda jag saknar.
Yeah.
För andra är bara så här, det är bara flärd och champagne och du vet, brudar. Yeah.
Educate yourself.
Det är det här, man måste landa.
Educate yourself.
Exakt.
It's time for you to learn something.
Eller hur?
And I got something good. It's been fun doing this, man.
Otroligt kul.
I thought it was gonna be fun just knowing you and knowing what we're gonna jump into. But it's been more fun than I even expected.
Jag gick in med öppna armar, men nu går jag in med ett öppet hjärta för framtiden.
Oh wow, that was poetic. Wow.
Nej, men det, jag håller bara med. Det här är bara en fröjd, och att jag får lära mig om svenskar som vill låtsas vara kineser i USA. Man kan ju inte ha det bättre. Det går inte att få det bättre.
Oh man, it was so fun. It's been fun. If anybody has suggestions for us, make sure send them to teachmesweden@gmail.com. I don't want to run out of stories.
Nej, och grejen är att jag är så busy.
Yeah.
Så ni måste skicka in stories, annars kommer vi aldrig, det kommer aldrig bli av annars.
Yeah man, we'll do the stories of ourselves every week.
Exakt. We'll teach you about us.
Yeah. Teach me Eric.
I'll teach you about me and you teach me about you.
Well, in this episode I'm going to be teaching you.
Oh.
It's your turn to listen in to a beautiful story. I hope you're ready, man.
Jag är så redo.
All right. I hope you're ready, because today we're going to learn about Swedish madams throughout the times.
Swedish madams?
Swedish madams. Women who run brothels.
Ooh. Svenska bordellmammor.
Yeah, man.
Det hade jag inte väntat mig. Spännande.
We always hear the phrase world's oldest profession when it comes to prostitution.
Vilket är konstigt, för att om det var första yrket, vad betalade de andra med?
Good point. Well, I have this rock.
Well, då antar jag att jag är en hora.
We could turn this rock into a wheel. You get a lot of pussy. imagine how much pussy fire gets you. You, sir, get a threesome.
Jag vet inte om jag vill ligga med dig. What about this flame?
Oh, wow. Bring them both in. But as you may know, prostitution is frowned upon here. I'd say, and I'm American, and, you know, I feel like it's more accepted. Sex work is more frowned upon here than it is in the U.S., and I have my theories on that I won't get into. But
jo, gärna. Men frowned upon låter så trevligt. Det är ju högst olagligt. Alltså inte att sälja, men att köpa.
Right. Ja. See, but I mean, selling yourself is kind of frowned upon. Like people are like, what? School is free.
Ja, men så, absolut. Men inte av dem som, jo, av dem som köper också förmodligen.
They're the ones who go to jail or whatever. And, you know, or pay a fine, whatever it is.
Ja, och jag kan tänka mig att de som köper också är typ så här, here, you bitch. Alltså, de är också, it's frowned upon with them också.
Yeah,
ja, just det. Men du menar, i USA så är det mer typ så här, good for you, making a living.
Or taking a, you know, it's a feminist stance. You know, so some people frame it in that way. It's a whole different thing.
Take a knock for your future.
She's just trying to get through college.
Men det har man hört mycket med strippgrejer, att det är stående skämt liksom.
She's getting through college.
Här har vi knappt strippor, så att det finns knappt.
Yeah.
Vi har ju typ inga strippklubbar.
Exactly. And from what I heard, it's really seedy. The ones that do exist.
Ja, det kan jag tänka mig. Ja.
Like that it's very seedy and very expensive and it's probably attached to even grosser things.
Det är roligt att de går i hand. It's seedy and it's really expensive. Det finns liksom inget annat ställe. Det är inte så att NK är seedy and expensive, utan det är...
But it is illegal to buy sex now in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
But
2022 even.
Damn, I wrote 2021. Look at that, man. Yeah. Damn, in 2022, it's still illegal.
Som förra året, även nu.
This is a complaint, actually.
Det har inte hänt något.
Before we get into madams, though, I want to go through a brief history of prostitution in Sweden.
Okay.
All right. In the Middle Ages, prostitution is not mentioned in any law text in Sweden in the Middle Ages and was thus not formally a crime.
Okay.
However, under the influence of the church, sexual acts outside of marriage were criminalized for both sexes, regardless of circumstances, which also affected prostitutes, of course.
Ja, just det. Så det var inte bara sålt sex, utan även ömsesidigt consented sex.
Right.
Var it's också like, olagligt.
You're not married.
Nej, inte
that's
gift.
You're not married. The normal punishment for extramarital sexual relations was fines,
mm-hmm.
or if the accused was unable to pay them, pillorying, whipping, or other disciplinary physical punishments within the kyrkoplikt.
Ugh. Det låter inget bra. Vad var det första? Pillorying?
Yeah. It's like, you ever seen those wooden things that put your head and your arms in?
Ja, någon sån skamstock liksom. Yeah. Att de får folk att kasta tomater på en och
exactly.
göra lite vad de vill.
And people are like, shame. And you can't even shrug. Like you're automatically shrugging. You're just like, well.
Well, I guess I'm here. Så underbart system som är så här hyckleri, att folk är typ så här, usch. Och sen nästa dag kan de själva ligga där och bara, wimp, 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 wimp.
It's like, uh-huh. And you look over like, now what, motherfucker? Ush you, bitch. The ban on extramarital sex was... the same in cases of actual prostitution, when the activity of the madam Sara Simon's daughter was exposed in the capital in 1618, she, her staff, and clients were all sentenced to various punishments for fornication in accordance with the ban of extramarital sex.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the Middle Ages.
Okay.
18th century, the earliest law to explicitly ban prostitution was in the Civil Code of 1734. Were procuring and brothel keeping were punished with whipping.
Ooh.
Yeah. Imprisonment and forced labor.
Vad fan? Väl igen. Var det typ såna, var det, nej, det var 1800-talet, så det var inte en offentlig whipping, va? Det var säkert en bakom...
I don't know. I'm guessing it probably was a...
Var det så?
Public whipping.
Men för vi har ju haft det här bödelavsnittet, och då var det väl att de tog bort... Jag kommer inte ihåg när det var, för att vi ska lära varandra historia, men när vi har läst det så glömmer vi bort det. Men
but the burdle, that was later.
Ja, this. Men själva offentliga avrättningar var väl typ, de tog ju bort det de sista... skitsamma, det kanske var offentligt.
But this is 17, this 18th century, the burdle stuff was 19th, was mostly 19th century.
Sant.
And even into the 20th century.
That's true.
Sweden.
Ja. Ja, jag glömmer alltid att du läser 18th century, då tänker jag 1800-tal.
Yeah.
Men du menar ju 1700-tal.
You gotta think of Jesus.
I'm thinking of Jesus. Every day.
From 1724 onward, unmarried women in Stockholm with no certification asserting that they were supported by legal profession, a personal fortune, or by a sponsor guaranteeing their economic support, they could be arrested for vagrancy. and placed at the Longhorns' spin house to prevent them from supporting themselves indecently, which was frequently used against prostitutes.
Okay, för då har man ändå sagt att yes, du försörjer dig själv, but indecently.
Yeah, and they're saying like, yeah, you gotta have proof that you're able to make this money because we're making it hard for you anyway.
Vadå, så att de var tvungna att bevisa att de tjänar pengar på det?
Like, you have to show that you're supported by some type of legal profession, some type of husband or something. Like, how are you making money? This was their way to...
Överlag liksom. Yeah. Om en kvinna bara, var fick du den där slanten ifrån?
Yeah, exactly.
Hon bara, min man, var är han?
Yeah.
Han är hemma. Det tror jag inte på.
Now come suck this dick.
Han ska ju gå bredvid dig hela tiden.
Exactly. High class courtesans who did not prostitute themselves at a brothel but met their clients at a theater or opera and received them in their own home or at the person at the John's home were protected from the police by a certificate of sponsorship by a client or having an official legal profession on paper, usually as an actress or singer.
Oh, är det därför vi alla är ansedda som slampor i skådisvärlden? Jag visste att det kom någonstans ifrån. Jag är skådespelare. Ah, slut!
It never went away.
Ah, okej, okay, du är skådespelare. Yeah. Ah, ja, okay.
Wipe your mouth off. Now we're on to the 19th century. In 1812, a law was introduced which allowed compulsory medical examinations and treatment of anyone suspected of carrying a sexual disease. A law that was in practice mostly forced upon women in the capital suspected by the police of being prostitutes, which led to protests and harassment.
Är det någon som kollar männen vid den här tiden?
The men kollar.
Ja, men
who's
jag menar...
Who's gonna do the watching if we're watching the men?
Så nu börjar de hitta bevis ifall kvinnan har en könssjukdom.
Yeah.
Men det kan hon ju lika gärna... Hon kan ju ha varit sjukt trogen och fått den av sin man.
Ja, yeah,
för där true. Är det ingen som kollar var han springer och stoppar in kuken.
Jag menar,
det är liksom, men det är, jag är inte förvånad att det är så, men det är så typiskt.
Yeah. In common with many other European countries, this is 1812, Sweden delegated prostitution control to local authorities from 1833 onwards.
Okej, okay. Och local authorities är alltså lokala polisen, eller?
Yeah.
So
between 1838 in 1841, an attempt was made by the local authorities in the capital of Stockholm to establish state control over prostitution. Hårbolaget. And I'm just playing. It was and thereby sexual diseases through an experiment with private licensed brothels.
Okay. Är det sant?
Yeah.
Från vilken 1833, sa du det?
So from 1838 to 1841, the government controlled...
3 år ungefär.
Yeah, it's 3 years. They were like, you know what? We're gonna do this, man. We can do this. We can be your pimp. Imagine the commercials too. No, back then they don't even have radio commercials. It's like somebody on the street, whores, get your whores.
Systembordellen. Det är stängt på söndagar.
I'm trying to get some pussy, right? I forgot. It's a red day. Now I'm around here with a dry dick.
Kommer folk från USA, du vet, så här. Du måste köpa horan idag. Du kan inte stänga imorgon. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, hey, don't forget. Valborg. From 1847, most prostitution was illegal, but tolerated.
Oh.
And regulated.
Luddigt.
Including medical examinations and secure hospitals for venereal diseases.
Okay, men det är bra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brothels were also illegal but persisted under police surveillance.
Time out. Vadå?
It's like we say marijuana is decriminalized in a lot of the US. If we look at it like decriminalized, this is the same. Like if I get caught with marijuana in Miami, or a lot of states, most states in America, you're not going to get in trouble.
Nej, nej, nej.
Because it's decriminalized, but it is illegal to sell it.
Just det. Och det är ju tvärtom faktiskt med prostitution här nu.
Well, in 1847, they're illegal. Mm-hmm. Marijuana is illegal in a lot of places.
Yeah.
But it persisted under police surveillance. So it's like, it's going on. We know it's going on. We're making sure people getting their disease checks and all that.
Yeah.
we do know it's illegal, but we're gonna turn a blind eye. It's kind of like that.
Jag tycker det låter lite extra illa för att det är police surveillance.
Yeah,
att like, de tittar på.
It's like, man, you gonna stay in here? You sure gonna, I mean, officer, please put your dick away. I'm just be a professional.
Fröken, har du en kund där? Ja, men släpp in mig då. Jag ska titta.
Make sure you're doing it right.
Annars går det inte.
What if he's in the corner giving tips? Hey man, you're gonna have to bak ifrån.
Okej att du betalar, men please the woman.
That's it. That's it. That's all the dick you got. I mean, you really had big dick energy when you walked in there. Fooled me, huh? Right, Ethel? Ethel.
Ethel. Visst var det där var inte. Usch. Dagens sämsta, va?
20th century. After 1918, control of prostitution was a national responsibility. Under two laws, there's the laws called the Lex Venerius and the Vagrancy Law, dealing with disease and unemployment, respectively, since money earned through prostitution was considered illegal.
Mm-hmm.
The 1940s saw continued pressure for abolition of the increasingly obsolete vagrancy law.
Okay. Well,
picking on people who don't have work.
Just det.
Which now was being enforced in a more restrained manner. The 1960s brought the widespread questioning of sexual mores to Sweden. And for the first time, the notion of prostitution as normative, together with proposals for reestablishing state brothels. So they're trying to go the Hamburg route.
Okay.
Yeah, in the 1960s. Delegates debates in the Riksdag in 1950 saw women state that the primary cause of prostitution was male demand. Imagine that.
Jävla typiskt alltså.
Echoing discourse outside the government in the 1880s and 1920s, by 1958, women parliamentarians were stating that prostitution was the most important social problem of all time, demanding a further commission. Of course, they're going to get a commission. By now, there was yet another reconceptualization of prostitution from psychopathy to sociopathy.
Va?
That you're not crazy, but it's because of social norms that it's something that people want.
Okay,
so they're changing. It's like it's not. Don't look at it like they're criminals. It's that society is off. It's the way it is.
It's the buyer's market.
Exactly. It's a free market. Yeah, and I believe in that. So then legislation came out replacing the vagrancy law with the antisocial behavior law in 1964. So then regulation of prostitution passed to this act, but retained the concept of normative social citizenship based on honest labor. In practice, the law was used less and less, and successfully challenged in 1967 and was replaced in 1969 by the Social Services Act of 1980. This is weird. To the Prohibition of Purchase of Sexual Services Act of 1999.
Det känns som att det är olagligt hela tiden på olika sätt bara.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's it. That is the history. And ever since then, it's basically been illegal to buy, but not illegal to sell. All right. So that's this episode of... No, I'm just kidding.
Write us your thoughts.
So vote for me if you want. No. So I find it very interesting that I think it's the right way to penalize. If anything, you penalize. There's some places in the U.S. I don't know if they still do it, but in my lifetime, I remember there being a time when if you were caught being a John, which is what we call people who purchase a human being.
Och stackars alla som heter John.
Myself included.
Varför är det så? Vet du varför man kallar dem för John?
Probably because it's a common name.
Aha, okej. Okay. So vi buntar upp alla män.
We'll do.
Okay, it's just like man.
But they would put Johns that were caught, their pictures on billboards.
Nej.
Yes.
I stan liksom.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, this guy was a creep. Like that.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's slaughter.
Det väl måste finnas en lag mot det.
Yeah.
Eller nu gör det. Eller GDPR.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's still like that. But,
nej.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right.
Okej, nej men jag tycker väl också, det är jätte... På samma sätt som jag tycker det är dumt att straffa en missbrukare. Alltså det är ju tvärtom. Mm, yeah. Att så här, du borde inte kunna, där tycker jag det ska vara kriminaliserat åt det hållet att den som har problem borde inte riskera massa fängelse och böter,
yeah,
om de har ett missbruksproblem, och det har du per definition om du köper en olaglig substans i Sverige. Alltså du kan inte bruka, du kan inte bruka marijuana i Sverige. Klassificeringen är att du missbrukar på en gång för att det är olagligt.
Mm.
Så om du då missbrukar borde du inte straffas för det.
Strong.
Men däremot kan du ju straffa säljaren om du vill få stopp på försäljningen. Men i det här fallet så tycker jag självklart att det ska vara tvärtom. Om du känner att du inte har något val som kvinna och säljer din kropp, vilket är fruktansvärt att du känner att du inte har något val, då borde inte du straffas för det, men däremot så kan man sätta dit köparen. Så jag är, jag är team hora, wow, provokativt, provokativ tanke. Och jag är team missbrukaren.
Mm. And I'm with you, man. You convinced me on both.
Vad skönt.
All right, speaking of whores, no, I'm just kidding. So now we're going to go through, not whores, but madams.
Yes, bättre titel.
Yeah, man, we're going through the women who changed the game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to show you a picture, Tjocka Sara.
Oh, yeah, jag skojar bara. Okej, okay, kallas hon Tjocka Sara?
Tjocka Sara.
Wow.
It's the first one.
That was fat shaming.
Yeah, she was actually mentioned in the Middle Ages portion.
Jaha, trots att det inte fanns några...
Fat people.
Hon blev men hon blev omskriven, men inte hennes profession.
Exactly.
Och så var det Tjocka Sara. Ja, vi vet ju alla vad hon höll på med. Så, fortsätt.
All right. Sara Simons dotter.
Yeah.
Called Tjocka Sara, Fat Sarah.
Yeah.
And she was at her peak in 1619. We don't have much information about her.
Okay.
She was a Swedish brothel owner and procurer in 17th century Stockholm. Her brothel had clientele among the royal court and became the center of a scandal when it was revealed in 1618.
Ooh. Men hon gick runt på hovet alltså. Hon sålde till kungen och...
Yeah, everybody. She was the one. She was like, Sara got you.
Mm.
Fat Sarah got your back. she will get you off. On the 4th of November 1618, a married woman, Margareta Henriksdotter, was arrested in Stockholm for prostitution.
Okay.
Among her, because remember, at some points, it was illegal.
Yeah.
Among her clients were people in high positions such as Adam Richard de la Chapelle.
Oof.
A captain on the Royal Guard with the coolest name ever.
Är han avlägsen släkting till Dave Chappelle, tror du?
De la Chapelle. I'm coming, bitch! That's my dick. he's a captain in the Royal Guard. Her arrest led to the discovery of a brothel at the ill-reputed street Skinnstugatan. As well as the arrest of Simon's daughter and her employees.
Aha.
So, yeah.
Sara också alltså.
Yeah.
Okay.
The brothel, which was which also functioned as a place to sell stolen goods, of course.
Ah, självklart.
Gotta mix it up.
Visst, skumraskaffärer ska vi bunta ihop, det är bra.
It was managed by Sara,
mm-hmm,
while the town executioner, Master Håkan, acted as a pimp.
En bödel?
I guess it says the town executioner. So I guess, and he's like, you know, executioners, they didn't have much work, as we talked about.
Exakt, det var extra knäck. Så klart han måste sälja lite skit.
She's like, nobody respect me if I'm going around saying, you know, where's my bitches at? You know, so you know, acting pimp for me.
Det är smart. Vem tjafsar med en bödel?
Yeah, exactly.
Det är jättebra. Han kan ju döda dig ändå, liksom.
Yeah, man. Her prostitutes worked at the brothel, but also visited clients in their homes and at other locations.
Mm-hmm.
She is credited with the invention of Fudora. No, I'm just kidding.
Men det är intressant, för hur gjorde de då? Alltså, det är inte som en call girl, för det är så enkelt. Du ringer.
Right.
Men om du ändå har tagit dig dit.
Send a raven to the hall.
Ja, men eller hur? Alltså, kommer de dit bara, knackar på sig bara, jag vill ha sex. Ja, hemma hos mig. Alltså, du är där. Du är där, liksom. Hur kom du?
You send a raven, man.
Ja, eller det måste ju vara så.
Oh, this one is from the John. Is this from De La Chapelle family?
John De La Chapelle vill att du kommer ikväll i aftonklädsel.
It's always a poem. among her employees were several women who were not career prostitutes, but rather married women who earned money without the knowledge of their spouses.
Ah.
So this is a little side gig, man.
Cred.
Yeah.
Man vill också köpa något fint.
Exactly. The mistress of John, Duke of Östergötland, was also seen there, though it was unknown in what capacity. Oh, we know what capacity. Come on now. The clients were often deprived of their clothing. See, this lady's so smart. They're deprived of their clothing to prevent them from leaving before payment.
Så man är så här, en hora tack.
Yeah.
Och då bara, okej, ge mig kläderna.
Yep.
Och sen när man är klar, bara, det var jätteskönt.
Like,
ge mig pengarna, nu får du tillbaka kläderna.
Right.
Smart, det är så like, pant.
Because last time he tried to pay with fire, and you know...
Och vi kör inte den skiten längre. Men det är bra, det är som en pant. Man är så här, deposit, man bara här. Så, exactly. Och så får jag tillbaka...
pant. Where was I? With the clothes. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Among the clients of her brother were the Dutch ambassador and a courtier. While in prison, several of the women escaped a prison break with a group of male prisoners assisted by three soldiers. You know how they got on the
yes.
side. Who helped them dig a tunnel under the wall.
Nej.
Yeah, man.
Oof.
Several of the former prostitutes seem to have been banished from town. A sentence carried out by Master Håkan.
Pimp. Hycklare.
And he does not seem to have been punished for his part in the affair.
Nej, det är klart. Inte på den tiden. Jävla Mäster Håkan alltså.
The client were all fined, everyone that was involved, that was bought. With a higher fine for the married clients than for the unmarried.
Ja.
So it's like, shame on you. You cheated on your wife.
You Men vad Svenska kyrkan inkopplat här också? För de sa att det var olagligt.
Part of the in the Middle Ages.
Ja, nej, det var innan. Ja, okej, bra.
Oh, this is during that time too. So that was they carried out some of the.
För då borde det vara högre straff för de som var gifta.
Right.
Just det. För då, just det. Mm.
Sara Simons daughter herself was sentenced to time in the pillory and to be flogged.
Nej.
Yeah, so she had the.
Tjocka Sara.
Yeah.
Ja. Nu kommer ett tjockis skämt.
Hey, don't do that. Just let it go.
Okay.
This is teach me Sweden.
Okay.
Let it fly.
Okay. Jag låter det vara.
No.
Nej, okay.
You gotta tell the joke, man.
Jag tänkte få en plats i den för att hon kanske hade.
They had to lube it up first. It says here they use butter or other.
Men okej att det bara är nack och handleder. Men om man heter Tjocka Sara på den tiden, då måste det varit otroligt tjockt, tänker jag.
They said it was also a weight loss program. her sentence was carried out May 19th, 1619.
Och hur länge varade det? Hur länge höll det på?
Oh, it doesn't say how long.
I think
it can't be too long in a pillory.
En dag.
Yeah.
En dag.
Probably.
Men flog är väl typ flodd. Flog är väl typ att du piskar
right.
någon blodig.
Yeah.
Ja.
Okay, that had to be, yeah.
Det hoppas jag inte höll på mer än en dag.
Yeah.
Det låter jobbigt.
Yeah, man. I think about that guy who got caught in, that American kid.
Uh-huh.
Who got caught vandalizing. His room in Singapore, and then he got caned.
Nice.
This was when I was like it had to be like the 90s.
Okay.
It was a huge story, and like Bill Clinton tried to get him, and Singapore was like, no, he's gonna get his fucking punishment.
Caned är alltså att man slår med en käpp typ.
Like a bamboo stick almost, a really big, but then they have some like martial artist do this. They did a demonstration. It was like huge news, man.
A martial artist?
Some dude who knows how to, he does like a whole spin before he hits you in the ass with
Varför
it.
Varför då?
For the effect. For views. They went viral. No.
Vilken tönt.
But they did decrease it from 6 to 4. I went and read, I did like a deep dive on this thing, because I was like, what happened to that dude? I think he went back to jail later too. This dude was all fucked up.
Ja, men de är lite tokiga med straff i Singapore, det är de. De tar i. Det är hårda straff.
Well, I mean, I'd rather get that than sit in jail for it. But I got spanked as a kid, so I'd be like, bring it on.
Ain't no martial arts scaring me.
Have you met Sarah Rollins? Anyway, sorry to sidetrack. But she got deported to her home parish, Kitimo, in Finland.
Jaha, alltså hon var finska, Tjocka Sara.
Yeah, man.
Tjocka Sara.
And she was threatened that she would be executed if she ever returned.
För att hon var prostituerad, eller?
Because she ran the fucking the thing. She
ja, men det var ju inte där, liksom.
But she's been flogged and she's been, you know, all that stuff is like, you come to our country, you need to follow the rules. If you come back, you're done.
Ja, om hon skulle tillbaka till Sverige, ja. Eller vadå?
If you come back to Sweden.
Ja, jag tror hon var rädd för att åka tillbaka till Finland.
No.
Nej, okej, bra.
Sweden was like, get the fuck out.
Okej, hon bara, okidoki. Jag tar och åker hem till Finland. Nu har jag suttit i skamstocken och mäster Håkan pratar inte med mig längre. Jag tar mig hem då.
All right.
När går Cinderella?
Is it okay, Åland? Can I go to Åland?
Finns det karaoke på båten?
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
All right, here we go. Platzgun. The next one. Platzgun.
Platzgun?
Platzgun.
Okay.
Lovisa von Platz.
Okay.
This is in the mid-1700s.
Och adlig.
What's that mean?
Von. She's noble.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she was.
If it's a von.
Yeah.
Gotta be.
Okay. She's also known under the names Platzkam, the Platt woman,
yeah,
and Moster von Platten, which is just
Moster,
cool.
Aunt von Platten.
Aunt von Platten. She was a Swedish brothel owner and procurer active in Stockholm for about 40 years.
Oi!
Until her death.
Wow.
She belonged to the elite of her trade and became a known figure of her time, mentioned in memoirs, diaries, and literature.
Oh. Nobody madams as the Platzkin.
Nobody fucking with the Platzkin.
Hey.
Court case of 1747 is what we're talking about now. She was pointed out as a procurer by the 17-year-old Bowman, the daughter of a wealthy craftsman who had run away from home and had been reported for prostitution. This little snitch is somebody I don't like, man. You over here, you whoring, keep it to yourself, all right? Don't be putting the pimp out there.
Men hon var 17.
Yeah.
It's a child.
Hey, you stepped into the adult world, all right? It's well documented on this podcast how I feel about the younger people in this world.
Okay. Jonathan, vad var ditt första jobb?
My first job, I worked at my grandmother's corner store.
Okay.
And I was working from 5 years old.
Okay.
I was underage selling alcohol to people.
Shut up.
And that's what I got paid. I was there for like 13 hours and I got $10, all right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, min poäng är...
I'm the wrong one to ask.
Min poäng är att mitt första jobb sög jag på för att jag förstod inte vad det innebar att ha ett jobb ens.
Yeah,
om en 17-årig säljer sin kropp och mår lite dåligt sen. Yeah, det kan vi väl köpa.
Okay. Well, of course, the court case was to attract great attention, and it lasted for months and involved numerous people, because she has the whole thing. Bowman, snitch ass, so we'll call her from now on, claimed that von Platt had rented out her sexual service to various men from the upper classes and nobility whom she met at von Platt's home or at various places von Platt had escorted her to. Von Platt was probably looking at her in court like, damn, you gonna tell her?
What the fuck? Men hon lär ju ha...
I trusted you.
Hon lär ju ha fått pengar av någon för att snitcha så mycket.
I don't know, man. Or maybe she was scared. Like, she was 17.
No, second.
Von Platt was portrayed as a well-known elite procurer who provided prostitutes for upper-class clients in Stockholm. Yeah. When summoned, Von Platt claimed to be a seamstress.
Yes.
I was just sewing.
Yeah.
I was just... She stated that she had tried to provide Bowman with work as a seamstress or a domestic, and that men frequenting her home were merely her clients in her capacity as a seamstress.
Rättegången var bara, sticka en hatt. Hon bara, fan också.
I can't... She starts sucking on a hat.
Yeah.
Take the hat from between your legs.
Madame von Platt. That is not how you knit a hat.
So, several other witnesses gave damaging testimonies against Von Platt. When she was summoned before the court next time, Von Platt refused to attend court and left the city. She had taken refuge in an unidentified vicarage in the countryside. A governor testified to her good character.
Mm-hmm.
And Baron Von Kirk claimed that she and the prostitutes of her stable were all seamstresses and laundresses in his employ. During this epoch, unmarried women who could not prove that she had a legal profession, a fortune, or a protector who could not vouch for her risk being placed at the Longholmen Spinhus, an elite prostitutes with contacts were normally protected against this by a wealthy client who provided them with such an assurance.
Ja, vad betyder det? Alltså att om det var en rik människa så kunde de vara så här, gå inte in i det här horhuset, det är okej här. Eller var det, alltså att de skyddade de bordellen,
if
eller?
You couldn't, if you're unmarried and you couldn't prove that you
den.
Have a legal profession.
Ah, ja, just det. Det var den.
Or like something, somebody vouched for you, then you could end up going to Longholmen Spinhus.
Okay. Ja, just det, det var den grejen, ja, just det.
But the elite ones, they were protected. Like, and Von Platt, she had the connections like
yeah.
that. So her whores were protected.
Just det.
On October 2nd, the case was dismissed on a legal technicality.
Och vad var det för legal technicality?
Because neither Bowman or Von Platt was residing in the city district in which the court case was conducted and thus were out of his jurisdiction.
Vad bodde de då? Alltså, var de var bara inte skrivna där.
But she had left. She refused to come back to town.
Ah,
and
they're okay.
Like, well, she doesn't live here, so.
Men den där Boman då, vart var hon?
I don't know where she went. I'm sure.
She was killed instantly.
Snitches get stitches, man. The case was thus discontinued without having led to any verdict, and there are no documentation that either Bowman or Von Platt were ever punished by a legal court for these offenses.
Det var som fan.
And Von Platt went free, despite evidence being presented that she owned a brothel, and is seen as likely that she was protected by influential clients.
Mm.
What a surprise.
Ja, eller hur? Men vad hände med henne då? Hon bara drog och sen hörde man inte av henne mer, eller?
Well, she was evidently protected against prosecution by her connections amongst the upper-class clientele to whom she catered. In 1757, she married Carl Otto Kretzmer. And he's a sergeant in the Royal Livgardet. I guess that's something in the military.
Mm-hmm.
And then from the 1760s, she owned and operated the brothel Platskans Jungfru Bur, which was situated in the St. Olof Röda Tomt. So she didn't even learn her lesson.
Nej. På det igen bara. Var hon gift då också med Kungliga Livgardet? Det är väl de som vaktar slottet, tror jag.
Oh, okay. It was the most famous Stockholm brothel during the reign of Gustav III.
Oh, Gustav den tredje.
Alongside her main rival, the Alströms Jungfrubud of the former sea captain Magnus Alström.
Mm-hmm.
Official documents, her brothel business is not very visible, of course.
Mm-hmm.
In the census of 1760, the house in which her brothel was situated stated to be owned by the married military wife, Lovisa Kritzmer. The owner was named as the widow, Helena Lovisa Kritzmer, age 49, and in 1780 by Lena Lisa Krusmer, 52, mm-hmm. which is obviously the same person.
Samma person,
as Von Platt, with different spellings of her name, who obviously gave false information about her age.
Just det.
She categorized her brothel as a tavern,
mm-hmm.
and she doesn't appear to have had many prostitutes actually living in the brothel, but rather have the names of prostitutes whom she arranged to meet clients in her house or other places. 1770, the people listed to live with her was her two daughters, a pauper of ill health, the daughter of a pottery maker named Maya Lena Dahlberg, a soldier, and two widows. And in 1780, the household consisted of herself and two daughters, as well as two other women.
Huh.
They don't know when she died, but Bellman. We know Bellman.
Ah, var han en kund?
He stated in his death poem over her that she died in October 1785.
Okay.
It's noted, however, that her name is still placed as number one in Peter Westman's famous list of all procurers in Stockholm from 1786. Huh. She's referred to in many diaries, memoirs, letters, and chronicles of the time, and she was the subject of many so-called whore poems from the 18th century Stockholm. The fact that they call them whore poems.
Är det det man kallar limerick nu för tiden?
Her brothel is portrayed in the famed erotic memoirs of Gustav Hallenstein, who named himself Niels von Rosenstein, and Carl Friedrich Friedenheim as her clients.
Uh-huh, okay.
The poet Johan Henrik Kjellgren claimed in a libelous 1778 poem that Sweden's bard Carl Michael Bellman, you know him, had learned to make love in the plot woman's maiden cage.
Åh, vad roligt! Gud, vad kul! Bellman lärde sig knulla hos von Platt.
Yes. She's portrayed several times in Bellman songs. As were many other members of the contemporary criminal world of Stockholm. After her death, Bellman wrote a poem about her death, Platskans överfart på sticks.
Man blir matte, man blir matte, man blir matt hos von Platt. Orkar ingenting när man har varit hos fröken von Platt.
Okay. And she's also mentioned in Fredman's Testament number 149.
Okay.
A silhouette image of von Platt is preserved in the Kungliga biblioteket.
Fatta, vilken konstig värld vi lever i där hon, alltså på ett skruvat sätt förtjänar det, men alltså att man blir ihågkommen för någonting hemskt, att det ska vara för att sälja sex eller att övervaka och sälja andra också. Yeah. Men det är så lustigt att hon blev en sån legend.
Yeah.
Tack vare den där jävla suputen Bellman som var som lärdes.
It's thankful that you learn how to throw that dick. Thanks to von Platt.
Som man sa på den tiden. Jag lärde mig att slänga kuken hos von Platt.
Okay, then we have Anna Karlström.
Uh-huh.
Born in 1780 in Ångermanland.
Yeah.
She died in 1850. That's it. And then, I'm just kidding. Anna was one of six children.
Uh-huh.
She described her life in her memoirs, published in 1841, which may not give an altogether truthful picture. Among other things, she claimed to have been the mother of 22 children.
Nej.
No condoms here.
Vad, måste fan skaffa en barn varje gång hon sålde.
I'll get into that.
Okay.
She was one of six children. And she was allowed schooling until the age of 14, which made her smart.
Uh-huh.
And then she was an apprentice farmer, learned how to manage a farm, trying to become a farmer's wife.
Okay.
She didn't care for that. and then she left home and went to the capital, Stockholm, at the age of 17 in 1797.
Mm.
And you know, if you move to Stockholm, you become a whore. That's just the way it goes.
Men som kvinnor. Spelar ingen roll. Flyttar du till Stockholm så...
According to her own memoirs, she worked as a maid servant, as a weaver, and as a children's nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And she was employed as a servant in the family named Williamson, which was moving to London in Great Britain. And she stayed with them for half a year before returning to Sweden.
Uh-huh.
And when she came back, she was, for some reason, wealthy.
Ja.
She married...
För hon var baby nurse, nästlas in i familjen.
Yeah.
Slängde ut frun, gifte sig, döda mannen
like
och barnet.
Comes back with money.
Exakt, så skulle jag ha gjort.
She married a tailor named Hellbom and she settled down in Stockholm. After 6 years of marriage and six children, she was left a destitute widow with two children. 1807, so that's two.
Så fyra barn har dött av de sex, för hon har två kvar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hon var ingen bra mamma.
It's really hard to bathe a child.
It's quantity, not quality.
Exactly.
I'll get a bunch.
Or the opposite, quality, not quantity. She started a business as an innkeeper,
uh-huh.
A common profession for a widow, and married a shoemaker named Johan Löfstedt.
Okay.
And she was desperately unhappy.
Ja, för hon skaffa sex barn till, eller?
Eight.
Alltså du vet, tänk dig typ jag har inte barn. Men jag känner folk som har skaffat barn. Tänk dig som kvinna att du har fött 3 barn. Och det är inte ens hälften av hennes första äktenskap. Och när vi hör någon skaffa 4 barn här nu, då är vi såhär, nu sjuk i huvudet. Vad ska du med 4 barn till?
Well,
okay.
She had 8 children.
I andra omgången.
All of whom died but one.
Ja, du ser. Hon är in... Nej, släng inte ner barnet från fönstret. Va? För sent.
So then the husband she was desperately unhappy with died around 1818.
Hmm.
No, well, he died. And then she married in 1818 for the third time to Anders Johan Lindholm. A lower rank officer of the Navy. And she lived with him for 16 years.
Hur många barn?
8. All of whom died.
Ja, men alltså seriöst. Alltså jag förstår att det är vanligt att barn dör. Det är jättevanligt på den tiden.
But that's you got a high percentage.
Ja. Och borde inte den där sista killen ha börjat höra saker om det här? Bara, ska du gifta med henne? Ja, du vet att alla hennes barn dör. Hon misstar dem för bröd och stoppar in dem i ugnen. Hon tvättar kläder med vissa barn. Hon tror att barnen är skor. Alltså, jag menar, vad fan?
It's like she's running out of ways to kill these kids. Oh, man.
Jesus.
She described her third spouse, Lundholm, as the love of her life.
Okay.
And his death gave her a depression, which forced her to sell her in. Finally, she married in 1834 to Anders, another Anders, Carl Ström.
Fjärde gången.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And he spent most of his time at sea, and she was forced to support herself.
Coolt. Inga barn?
I don't know what's up with the kids. They didn't mention the kids.
Finally fucking learned your lesson, didn't you?
Well, he was away.
Oh, just det.
He was away. Okay. And she managed to start again as an innkeeper, mm-hmm. and she had some success. But by 1838, she was in debt. Because she was unable to pay what it cost to establish an inn.
Yeah.
And then in 1838, Stockholm authorities, alarmed with the problem of controlling the spread of sexually transmitted diseases, decided to try a new policy against prostitution,
just det.
Inspired by contemporary French ideas. And instead of illegal brothels, which worked in secret and were hard to find control by authorities, 2 brothels were given official support.
Okay.
The purpose of this was to make it easier for authorities to control the spread of STDs. Therefore, the first 2 official brothel licenses ever were issued by the city's authorities. One to Anna Karlström,
mm-hmm.
and it was one called London.
Va? Hette den andra London?
This one was called, her brothel was called
London. Ah, det hette London. London. Okej. Okay. Okay, så vänta. Jag ska bara, det här är bara, okej. Okay. Hon har fått 6 stycken plus 8. Det är 14 plus 6 till. Det är 20 stycken minst. 20 barn har hon fött. Yes. Och sen blev hon prostituerad.
Yes.
Okej.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. According to her a lot is from her memoirs.
Ja, ja, ja.
So she could be...
Jag
maybe she thought every period was a...
A child.
Was a miscarriage.
or a child. Titta, jag får ett barn! Men hon var lärd, hon gick i skolan, så att, fast de kanske inte lärde, jag tror inte de lärde sig om mens i skolan på den tiden.
But she didn't know about mens. No. So the brothels were named after cities that were at the time talked about as the centers of prostitution and sexually transmitted diseases.
Mm-hmm.
So hers was called London.
Okay.
She described her attitude when agreeing to the task, times are hard and one must adjust oneself accordingly. Mm-hmm. If I turn down this opportunity, I will have no way of supporting my creditors, mm-hmm. which is my highest wish.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
What about your kids?
Låga mål, alltså.
I got to pay my debt. I don't know what else to tell y'all.
What about your kids? Huh?
I got debt. Did I mention debt? On the other hand, were I to continue this business, I'll pay my debts and still have good income during my old age. Yeah. And remember, my friend, nowadays, the words are... profit and money.
Man måste, men det är smart. Man måste ha en backup plan och hon är ändå företagsam. Det får jag gärna.
Her brother, I'm sorry.
Nej, det är bra. Det var.
Her brother was established at Skeppsbron.
Mm-hmm.
Her spouse had nothing to do with the business, since he was away at sea all the time. But he didn't like it. He said it was too much for your health and your, at your age to manage such a business. Mm-hmm. But she persuaded him. In her memoirs, published in 1841, when she was still in the business, she referred to London as an inn rather than a brothel.
Okay.
She remarked of her business, "I have the conviction that I have spared no effort to satisfy every wish for any one of those who visit my inn, but also that numerous unpleasant incidents occurred more or less daily." And that's what she was, she wasn't used to that, and she found it exhausting. And she stated that she had a lifelong distaste towards criminality, which was the reason why she always had such good cooperation with the authorities and her constant willingness to assist them and provide them with useful information. And that it was only the evil police master, Holtberry. Yeah, he sounds like a bad guy.
Yeah.
He persisted in his attempts to libel her as a criminal despite her great will of cooperation.
Huh.
In August of 1839, London was raided by the police, and Karlström was arrested and prosecuted for storing stolen goods.
Ah, så hon hade också lite sånt på gång.
Mm-hmm. But she was acquitted from the charges.
Men hon sa ju att hon var så mot kriminalitet, så kanske inte så mycket som hon hävdade.
Or maybe somebody was stealing shit and she didn't know.
Yeah, sure.
She got 22 kids, man.
Nej.
And det, debt. She got debt.
Hon hade inte 22, hon hade typ 1. Alla andra var ju döda, fan. Hon hade väl inga barn att försörja.
She's got 22 kids and slippery hands, all right? The Stockholm authorities.
I got 22 kids to feed. No.
We gotta go to the cemetery if y'all want to see. The Stockholm authorities, however, abandoned the police of licensed brothels in 1841, as I stated earlier, after receiving great opposition from the public, regarding their purpose of controlling sexually transmitted diseases, they failed miserably at it. It didn't curb it at all. Imagine that.
Nej.
It didn't curb it at all.
Nej.
So they stopped the protection, and there was another brothel called Stadt Hamburg. So it was named after Hamburg, Germany.
Uh-huh.
And it was closed the same year by authorities. But it's not known when London was closed.
Okay.
It's assumed that she closed in late 1841. In fear of an inspection from the authorities.
Men lustigt att alla bordeller hade andra länders stadsnamn.
Yeah, that's a Swedish thing to try to... This is a London thing.
Okay.
It's a Hamburg, you know.
Har vi någonting sånt nu där det ska låta lite internationellt och så blir det...
B.O. Rio.
Ja.
When I think of movies, I think of Rio de Janeiro.
No. Oh yes, det är därför heter Bio Rio.
All right, we got one more.
Okay.
You might have heard this lady, Doris Hope.
Doris Hope.
You ever heard her?
Nej.
Okay. Doris Hope was a Swedish brothel madam who organized a network of call girls in Stockholm, Sweden in the early 1970s.
Okay, nu var det telefon här och grejer.
Yeah, she was arrested on pimping charges in 1976.
Okay.
A police investigation soon revealed that many of Hope's customers were well-known politicians, and other dignitaries.
Vilka politiker var det?
In November 1977, the newspaper Dagens Nyheter published allegations citing Justice Minister Lennart Geijer as one of Doris Hope's customers.
Okay.
The newspaper claimed as a source a classified report in which the chief of police, Carl Persson, had informed Prime Minister Olof Palme of the involvement of politicians in the prostitution scandal.
Okay.
At the time the scandal broke, it was legal to pay for sexual services. But the fact that politicians socialized with prostitutes was viewed as a security risk, as staff from foreign embassies were also reported to frequent the brothel.
Vadå, var det lagligt att köpa 76?
That's what it says.
Huh.
But remember when we were going through it, we were talking about how that was the time in the between the 50s and the...
Just det.
Yeah. And
okay.
The Social Services Act was 1980.
Ah, okay, okay.
And that's when and then the purchase of services or whatever it's called.
Oh.
Prime Minister Palm strongly denied the allegations, accusing the paper of aggravated libel. The newspaper was forced into a retreat, and 2 days later, after the publication, Lennart Geijer received an official apology.
Okay, men vi tror att han gjorde något, va?
Years later, it emerged that a few minor details aside, the newspaper's assertions had in fact been largely correct.
Ah, just det.
Over the years, there's been much speculation regarding the identities of those who made use of the brothel services. Former Prime Minister Thorbjörn Fälldin and former Center Party leaders Olof Johansson have both publicly denied frequenting Doris Hopps brothel.
Säkert, det är klart att Fälldin och det är klart de var där.
The cool thing is that this was 70, so I actually looked at the legal documents involved in this. It was cool to see, like, cool. It was interesting to look at the, that it was, man, it was like, and I'd never seen a legal, like, a trial document.
Yeah.
But I saw that Doris was convicted of procurement, and she was sentenced to 2 years in prison. They tried to get her 5, but she got 2 years in prison and a fine of 200,000 crowns.
Men vadå? De gick fria, men hon fick 2 års fängelse.
You mean the guys who bought?
Ja, men Fälldin och alla de här. Alltså de storpamparna, politikerna åkte inte.
Yeah, nobody got, no. But she was, since she had it. But it was determined that she had at least 28 girls on her roster.
Uh-huh.
As discovered in her notebook that had each girl's name as well as details about their specialties.
I know.
So maybe that's why you got caught. You got details. You're like, oh, handjob specialist. We got Marlin.
Jesus.
She made claims that she hadn't made more than 250,000 crowns. I'm assuming that that was like a key number, the 250,000 to get a certain penalty.
Okay.
That's what I'm assuming as when I looked through it. And the courts didn't buy it. They were like, you were in business for 5 years. There's no way you only made 250,000 crowns.
Yeah, but I was cheap.
Ask Olof. She was also charged with creating space for indecency, which is interesting that that's a crime.
Space for indecency.
Yeah. People would bring their mistresses and side pieces to her location. They didn't say side pieces. I said side pieces. That's what you call, like, if you got a girlfriend and you got another lady, it's a side piece.
Alltså, inte din flickvän utan din flickvän nummer två.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the side piece
is a slang.
What is it they call it? The mob, the Italian mob and all the... They call it the gumma.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we have a gumma.
Yeah.
Because she's an old gumma. Yeah. But it doesn't at all mean that it's your lover.
Just an old lady.
This is my
Which gumma. We also call our girlfriend. Oh, that's my old lady. So it all ties together.
It all ties up. Crazy.
So they were using her location. So she would, like, rent out a spot. Like, oh, you need to... You don't need one of these 28 women, but you want to bring your lady here. We got it. You can rent this room.
Ah, okay. Men det är ju inte prostitution. Det är ju bara...
Nah. Nej. And that's why she got charged with creating a space for indecency.
Vad fan? Yeah. Det är väl upp till... Men han då? Det är ju han som är otrogen. Vad fan? Herregud.
Yeah, man.
Kom igen nu.
Kyrkoplikt, where you at?
Det var ditt fel att han var otrogen. Du hyrde ut det här oanständiga, smutsiga rummet.
If he had nowhere to go, he wouldn't have done it.
Exakt.
So she was able to make all the CD connections that she needed. And that's it for Doris Hope.
Shit.
That's all of the madams over time.
Var det den sista som vi känner till?
Yeah. Yeah. Besides, I did see that there was, what's her name? Alston, oh, I forget what her name. Oh, Anna Karlström. She had like a competition though too.
Mm-hmm.
The other brothel, you know what I mean, when it was legal.
Yeah, the Hamburg
Anna
one.
Anna was the big deal.
Okay, yeah.
So that's why I did these women. So shout out to these madams.
Men vad fan, alltså, jag menar, hatten av. Ni ska ju också överleva i historien. Yeah. De hade det säkert inte lätt.
Ja, of course not. Fan. No, it's not a psychopathy. It's a sociopathy.
It's a sociopathy.
But yeah, that's it for the Swedish madams, man. Thanks for listening in. I hope you learned a lot that you'll carry with you.
Jag kände inte att det här var inget jag behövde lära mig. Men det är väl det som är lite poängen också, att här lär vi varandra om saker som vi kanske eller kanske inte har nytta av.
Yeah, man.
Men det är i alla fall svensk historia.
Yeah.
Ja.
Thanks so much for checking out this episode of Teach Me Sweden. Don't forget that you can support us on Patreon. Patreon.com/teachmesweden. We appreciate any little bit you can get.
Eller hur? Sitt inte där och tyck om det gratis.
There's a lot of work behind these,
visa
man.
Lite stöd. Kolla, vi måste ju kunna betala. Annars måste vi börja
bli madams.
Do you want us out there, huh? I know 28 people.
Madam Rollins. Madam Broström.
Von Rollins.
Von Rollins.
Madam Von Rollins.
Okay.
That'll be my name.
And I'll be Shit Creek Broström. Because my name ain't worth a penny.
I ain't making 250,000. All right. It's been John the Rollins.
Erik Broström.
And we'll holler at y'all next time. Yeah. Teach me way down.
Fred.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.